Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, so the Anucheta 18 is describing the internal potency of the Lord, and that there is such a thing as this superior energy is proven by the logic of Anyata Anupapati. In other words, that all living beings and their life functions must be impelled by a higher force, a higher intelligence. Anyway, in the two verses from the sixth canto spoken by Narada, I'll read the translations of them again. I bow down to that Brahman. No, it's the commentary. I bow down to that which the mind, intelligence, and senses cannot touch or know, and which, like the sky, expands everywhere, within and without. The body, senses, mind, and intelligence, penetrated by a fractional part of this Supreme, proceed in their respective functions. When at other times there is no such contact, they become inactive like iron that has not been exposed to fire. Thus it is the Supreme who becomes known as the seer. Okay. I'll read 18.2 translation again, and then, because we didn't read the commentary in 18.2, as far as I can see. In this same regard, it is said in the Advaita school's Sharirika commentary on Vedanta, while refuting the Sankhya philosophy, and I'm not sure whether this is directly from Shankaracharya or from some sub-commentary. I haven't found it. The quote is, "Next, an attempt is made of presuming that the pradhana becomes a seer through the effective causal agency of the witnessing soul. Similarly to how by the effective cause fire, a lump of iron or other object gains the power to burn." And that is proposed by the Samkhya philosophers, the atheistic Samkhya philosophers. But if that is so, the Shankara answer is, then the effective cause of the pradhanas being a seer must be the omniscient prime cause of creation. So pradhana is not the actual cause of creation. Whatever makes the pradhan seem to be conscious when it isn't, that must be the actual cause of creation. There are also such statements of Shruti as, everything radiant reflects its radiance. In other words, material energy reflects consciousness, but the source of consciousness is the Supreme. And also Shruti says, who could breathe and live if this Supreme Sky were not the embodiment of bliss, if the Akasha was not Ananda? Kohyevanyat kakpranyat yad esha akasha ananda nasyat. That is, I think, from the Taittiri Upanishad, yes. And it is the eye of the eye and the ear of the ear. In other words, the eye is not really a conscious organ. The Brahman is actually the conscious factor. The eye is just an instrument. That is from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now the commentary. Srila Jiva here cites the Sharirika Bhashya, Shankara's commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. I did read it. Okay. So we can move on to 18.3. Did we read 18.3 also? Okay. So we're up to 19. Okay. Anyway, that was a review. 19. Kim Cha. And furthermore, there's another statement about this from the 6th chapter, but spoken by Daksha in the Hamsaguya prayers. 6th canto, 4th chapter. Deho savoksha manavo bhutamatra natmanam anyam cha viduk paramyat sarvam puman veda gunans tatagyo naveda sarvagyam anantam idhe. I don't know what I just hit. It deleted. I just closed the program. Wait a second. The system is shutting down. Excuse me. I guess I told to log off. Wait a minute. Windows is configuring updates. Okay, I'm sorry. You have to wait a minute. Unless you want to let me, do you have the file in there, Mother Mahaprabhu? Do you have the energy? I can just read off of yours for a minute. Yeah. Okay, I'll read. Yeah, I'll read this. Of course, this is unedited. I need to make some changes. We're up to 19. That's down here. Okay. The translation of that verse. Because they are only matter, the body, the life airs, the external and internal senses, the five gross elements, and the subtle sense objects, form, taste, smell, sound, and touch, cannot know their own nature, the nature of the other senses, or the nature of their controllers. But the living being, because of his spiritual nature, can know his body, the life airs, the senses, the elements, and the sense objects. And he can also know the three qualities that form their roots. Nevertheless, even if the living being is completely aware of them, he is unable to see the Supreme Being, even if who is omniscient and unlimited. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Commentary by Jiva Goswami. Dehas chasavas cha prana akshani indriyani cha manavo antakaranani bhutani cha matras cha tanmatrani atmanam swasvarupam anyam swasva vishaya vargam tayok param devata vargam na cha na viduhu. Okay. The body, the asus, which means the life airs. All of these do not know their own identity, nor do they know what's other than them. The body doesn't know the asus or life airs, the akshas or the senses, the manus, which mean the mental faculties, the elements of matter, and the perceptible objects of the elements. These do not know their own identities. Okay, all of these don't know, because they're dead matter. Nor other things, nor do they know other things. Maybe I should have the words, nor do they know, because it's nor other things could be the subject or the object. Other things don't know, but we're saying that nor other things, is that subject or object? Not manam anyam cha, anyam is object, other things. So I would say, I can't write in here, this is your file. Nor do they know other things. I know, my file's going to be open in a second. I'll just remember to write it. They're respective objects of perception. They don't know other things which are the senses' respective objects of perception. nor do they know the demigods who were superior to both. Okay, that's a paraphrase of what the verse says. Continuing, the Puman, the individual living being, however, knows them all. Himself, his own identity, other knowers beside himself, the totality of bodies and other objects distinct from both of these, and the demigods who preside over them. Of course, you have to be a very exceptional person to fully know all these, but it's theoretically possible. A living entity could be familiar with all of this. Oh, boy. In addition, he also knows the modes of nature. And it's a singular, or it should be a plural. Goodness and so on, which form the basis of the bodies and other objects. Now, hold on a second. Let me fix this here. Insert comment. Doesn't work, okay. Sorry, just a minute. Why isn't it cooperating? Noticing, no, okay. And then, okay, got it. You can take your machine back if you. Okay, so the living entity can know all these other things, the senses, his bodies, and the demigods even. He can know all of those. He can know the modes of nature, which are the foundation of all this material phenomena. But, well, I'm still inside the verse here, but although he is the knower of all these, he does not know the omniscient one, which means he who knows everything, from the bodies to the souls. I worship that unlimited one whose essential being incorporates unlimited energies according to the indications of the first canto, which says, he who is called the unlimited because he is the fullest in qualities. That is Mahadgunatvad Yamanantam Ahu is spoken by Shonaka in the 18th chapter of the first canto. Commentary. The previous Anucheda introduced the new topic of the Supreme Lord's internal energy and argued on the basis of a statement of the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam that this Swarupa Shakti is superior to the Lord's material energies, because none of them can participate in the functions of life without her presence. The inferior energies, moreover, cannot know or have any influence on the superior energy. The verse cited now, also from the sixth canto, says more in the same regard. Matter has no consciousness. The finite souls are conscious of matter and themselves, but cannot know the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Soul alone is omniscient and omnipotent by his Swarupa Shakti. Because his material and spiritual energies have no limit, he is called Ananta, the unlimited. Okay. Then further discussion about this. Ata eva yatra hi dvaitam eva bhavati taditara itaram pasyati ityarabhya jivas yetara drashtvitvam uktva yatra tu asya sarvam atmaiva bhut tatkena kam pasyet. That is Viharanyaka Upanishad 4-5. Thus in the passage, when there appears duality, where there appears duality, there one separate being sees another separate being. And where there isn't any duality, that doesn't happen. But you have one thing, one being seeing another being in duality only. Which words mention the jivas being the seer of something else? It is then said, but in that soul of his in which everything pre-exists, that capital soul, the super soul of his in which everything pre-exists, what can he see and by what means? What can the jiva see within the supreme soul? Which denies that the jiva sees the super soul and states that the super soul, on the contrary, is the seer of everything else and also of himself. So we had two different statements from the sixth canto saying this, and now we're going back to the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, fourth chapter, and another statement that says this. This is further expressed by the words, indeed, by what means can the knower be known? Vijñātāraṁ arē kena vijānīyāt. Where is that from? Okay, if it's in the same passage, I should indicate that, but let me put a question. The soul, super soul, belongs to him, the jiva, who serves as the super soul's location. Okay? And within that super soul, within his own essential self, it is implied, within the super soul, everything, his energies and so on, have been always existing rather than coming into him by the entrance of something else. Okay. There's something to know there. Jiva has a hard time knowing the Supersoul, but the Supersoul is full of eternally existing qualities. There's something interesting to know about within the Supersoul. Commentary. The famous fifth Brahmana of the fourth Adhyaya of the voluminous Brihadaranyaka Upanishad contains instructions given by the sage Yajñavalkya, who appears several times as a speaker in this Upanishad. Yajñavalkya was about to leave his home to take sannyas, leaving behind his two wives, Maitreya and Katyayani, the first of whom was a sage in her own right, and the other bound by an ordinary female mentality. Maitreya approached him, asking for knowledge of the Supreme, as his parting gift, which he gladly agreed to give her. He advised her to recognize the difference between material vision and vision focused on the Supersoul. In worldly perception, one sees everything in terms of material distinctions, but an intelligence thus bound to dualities can never begin to perceive the realm of pure spirit. So ordinarily, the Daksha and Narada in the verse before that were saying that the jiva cannot know the Supersoul. That's ordinary jiva in ordinary circumstances. But a rare soul who is spiritually established can perceive the Supersoul. And because Maitreyi is an exceptional person, her husband is trying to instruct her on how to perceive the Supersoul. Ayam 19.3. Ayam artaha. Yatra maya vai bhave dvaitam iva bhavati tanmulakatvat tanananyad api maya kya chintya shakti hetu kataya jara malina nashvara tvena tadvilakshanataya sampaditam. This means that where, namely, in the creative expansion of Maya, there seems to be duality, that which is non-different from Brahman, because Brahman is, its foundation is nonetheless rendered through the agency of his inconceivable energy called Maya, as different from Brahman by its being contaminated by matter and subject to destruction. I think that sentence is constructed in such a way that it's hard to understand. So, I'm going to mark that. Okay, I want to rewrite that sentence. I think it's hard to follow. Let me go over it again. Okay, the statement from the Viharadaranyaka Upanishad indicates that in duality, which is the place where Maya expands her creative power, we see things as separate from Brahman, from the Absolute. Even though everything, nothing is actually separate from Brahman. But the agency of his inconceivable energy called Maya makes us see things as separate from Brahman. And that happens by the contamination of matter. Okay, and those things that we see in duality are all subject to destruction. Okay, that's what the sentence is supposed to say. In other words, it repeatedly manifests as if existing independently of Brahman. It is what? Let me make a question there. Okay. In other words, okay. And there, in that realm of duality, one separate being, namely the jiva. Namely the jiva, sees another being, namely material objects. This implies a reason for this seeing, that the jiva's senses and objects of perception are mutually compatible. Okay, arrangement has been made by the Supreme that the jiva has suitable senses that can perceive material objects. That's by the empowerment, by the mercy of the Supreme. Yatra tu swarupa vaibhave asya jivasya rashmi staniyasya mandala staniyo ya atma paramatma sa eva swarupa shaktya sarvamabhut anadita eva bhavan aste not to tat tat praveshena. There is a place, however, namely in Brahman's personal manifestation, where the soul, the capital soul, the super soul, like the sun globe in relation to the jiva, who is like the sun's rays, is everything by his personal energy. Having been such forever, rather than becoming so, by something entering him. He's everything. Everything's included in him. All qualities, all things reside in him. And they always have. He didn't become supreme. He didn't become full with those qualities. They're not imposed on him. They are eternal in him. The Mayavadis say the qualities are, by avidya or illusion, are imposed on Brahman. But this is not something added to Brahman. They're originally in Brahman, eternally. All these qualities of duality. Tat, tatra, itarat, sajiva, kena, itarena, karana bhutena, kam padartam pasyet. Na kenapi kam api pasyet ityartaha. In that place, that namely the Brahman, the Paramatma, how can the separate being, the jiva, see another separate being, a material object, by any separate means, any perceiving sense? He cannot, the idea is, see any object by any means. We're saying the jiva can't see anything. But we are jivas and we're seeing things. What does that mean then? Let's see. That means the jiva, by his own power, by some separate means, he can see only by the direct inspiration of the supersoul, not by any material means. We don't see with our eye, with our mind. We see with the inspiration of the supersoul. The power to see comes from him. Okay. Nahi rashmayaha swashaktya surya mandalantargata vaibhavam prakashye yur na charjisho vaknim nirdahe yur iti bhavaha. Certainly the sun rays cannot by their own power illuminate the rich variety within the sun globe, nor can the flames of fire burn the fire. There's the power to know and the power to make a change. The jiva cannot really know Brahman by his own power, and by his own power he can't do anything to Brahman. Tadevam sati yasya kalavevam anantam swarupa vaibhavam tam vigyatarum sarvagyam paramatmanam kena itarena karanena vijaniyat na kenapi ityartaha. So by what means, what separate sense of perception, can one see the knower, the omniscient supersoul, vigyatarum, the one who knows everything? Who, by what means can someone see him, the possessor thus of an unlimited personal opulence? Not by any such means, any such separate instrument, cannot successfully perceive the supersoul. Tadevam jnana shaktau tatra siddhayam Prich kriya ech cha shakti cha lakshyete dakshan shri purushottamam. This reasoning makes known the nature of the energy of knowledge, and that of the energies of activity and desire can similarly be inferred. Now, this is talking about knowing the Supreme. You can also, by similar logic, infer what is the nature of the Lord's kriya shakti and his ichcha shakti. Now, jnana bala kriya cha. Those three categories of spiritual energy. Okay, one comment. I left out the word the. Okay, commentary. Oh, one last sentence. The verse under discussion was spoken by Daksha to the Supreme Person in 6.4, Bhagavatam.
Is it a mistake here, lakshyate instead of lakshyate?
No, it's dual.
Oh, it's dual.
There's two things that are inferred. A passive dual. It's atmanipata dual. Commentary. Yajnavalkya told his wife that the Paramatma is unknowable by any material means. But he did not deny that there are spiritual means for knowing him. In fact, he indicated to her earlier in this chapter of his instructions, even before he said this, he said that to advance toward the Supreme, she should find out these means, the means to know him. Atma va are drashtavya, shrotavyo, mandavyo, nididhyasitavyo, Maitreyi. Indeed, my dear Maitreyi, you should come to the point of seeing the soul. You should hear about him, think about him, and deeply meditate on him. All living beings are dependent on the one supreme living being. Whatever capacities and virtues they may possess have been bestowed on them by his grace. All his powers and qualities, however, are innate in him. All our powers are derivative. They're given to us by the supreme. The jiva, a raw jiva, doesn't have much potency, some little potency. But when the Lord empowers him, then he has power. And even the mataks mitir ganam apohanam, the Lord may give us from birth the physical body. That's arranged by Maya. But the mental apparatus, the ganam apohanam, ganam, what is it? Smitir ganam, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. They have to be provided directly by the Supersoul after your birth. If the Supersoul withholds them, then you're just a vegetable. All his powers and qualities, however, are innate in him, but nobody had to give him his powers. He did not have to work or cultivate anyone's favor to acquire them. Now we move on to 20, Anuchet 20. Vashikrita maya twenapi tam aha. That superior energy is also described in terms of her keeping maya under control in the following words. Notice the subject is not mentioned here in the Sanskrit. So I had to infer that when you're trying to figure out Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas, there's a lot of pronouns that you have to carefully sort out what are the antecedents. And here's a sentence that doesn't even have a subject. You have to just understand that we're still talking about the spiritual energy. So that superior energy is also described in terms of her keeping Maya under control in the words, Satvam hi nitya vijatma gunak swadhamma kalo vashi krita visrija visarja shaktihi. That is Bhagavatam 7.9, which would be Prahlad praying to Nrisingadev. Indeed, you are eternally victorious over the material qualities of the soul by means of your personal power. You are the force of time and keep under your control your created and creative energies. The commentary on this explains. Swadhamna chitshaktya yataha kalo maya prerika iti tikacha. Sri Goswami explains in his commentary, by your dhamma means by your spiritual energy. Dhamna, by your spiritual energy. This is because you are time, the impeller of maya. Okay, that's the commentary by Sridhar, just explanation of those two things. Why Kala? You are Kala, but Kala is what makes Maya move. That's the energy by which the Lord makes Maya act. Atma Twatra Jivaha Tasya Gunak Satvadayaha Satvam Rajastama Iti Guna Jivasya Naiva Me it yukta tvat. In this context, the soul mentioned in the words vijitatma guna swadamna, the atma referred to there is the jiva, and his qualities are the modes of goodness and so on. According to the statement from the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, Krishna says, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance belong to the jiva, not to me. This verse was spoken by Sri Prahlad to Sri Nrsimha. Okay? The superior energy controls the inferior energy. We established that there is a spiritual energy. We said something about the nature of the spiritual energy, that it's eternal. Now, it's another quality of the superior energy is that it controls the inferior energy. The Lord doesn't have to do that himself. He does it through he controls the material energy through his spiritual energy. Commentary. The word kala is normally understood as meaning time, but it also has a more general sense, the word kala. Kal is a verb meaning to impel, from which the noun kala is derived. Basically, therefore, kala is that which makes other entities act under its control. And it happens to be in the material world that that controller is the time factor, so it's called kala. The Supreme Lord, but Vishnu, is called Mahakala. He's the supreme impeller. The Supreme Lord himself is the original kala, as we see in his name Mahakala. Immediately subordinate to him are his personal Swarup Shaktis, and they are the controllers of the inferior Maya Shaktis. The first of the material energies contained in the primeval glands of Mahavishnu on Maya is time, which is also called Kala. The Lord Vishnu is the original impelling factor, but he delegates that impelling power in the material energy of time. The transcendental Lord has no interest in the attractions of Maya in her three modes. He only glances once at her to begin the creation and then leaves her alone. It is for the finite creatures' indulgence and power and enjoyment that the modes manifest and combine with material ego to produce the elements of creation and their combinations. Thus, sattva, rajas, and tamas are loaned by the supreme proprietor to the jivas for their temporary possession. So, sattva, rajas, tamas, they belong to the jiva, not to me. They don't even really belong to the jiva, they're just on loan. The jiva is borrowing or is given them for some time. Spiritual energy controls the material energy, and the controlling factor is time. Okay, we'll stop there. That leaves us up to Anuchet 21. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. And there's something from Madan Mohan Prabhu. Comment or question? Go ahead.
So the question concerning Anuchet 9.2. I'm just curious about the translation here.
I closed the file, but you can tell me.
Oh, I see. It says, Asya jivasya tad adishtana bhutasya ya atma paramatma saiva yatra.
Yes.
In translation, it says, the soul, super soul, belongs to him, jiva, who serves as the super soul's location.
Well,
I'm just a bit confused about that.
All the Sanskrit says is the genitive relationship of the jiva.
Maybe we could understand it.
How do I say it exactly?
Oh, it says here the soul, super soul, belongs to him, the jiva, who serves as the super soul's location. I'm just confused about that. Belonging.
You mean that the jiva owns the super soul? The idea that the jiva owns the super soul sounds funny.
Well, it sounds like that.
Okay. I'll mark that. It probably should be changed. It's misleading. Okay, so I'll class is over. We'll stop here, but I'll write that down. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.